Okay, there we go. All right, beloved, Acts chapter 20 is where we're going to be this evening. Acts chapter 20. Tonight, I want to bring a message entitled, I Kept Back Nothing. Acts chapter 20, we're going to look at verse 20 tonight as we start off. If you have your place there, please say amen. Amen. That sounds good. You don't have to stand or read out loud. I know you reverence the Word of God. The Bible says, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house." What's Paul talking about here? Well, let's find out. Lord, tonight we thank you for your precious and holy Word. Lord, we thank you for this ministry, Lord, that we've been ministered to tonight through Brother Justin, leading our music and sharing these specials from his heart. Lord, we thank you for this same old crowd that's generally here and faithful to your house. And Lord, we know there are some that are absent tonight that normally would be here. But Father, we thank you most of all for Jesus and for you just coming up alongside us and sitting right down inside of the services this evening. Now, Lord, I ask that you'll hide me behind the cross, Lord. Put your words in my mouth. You'd have me to preach and teach tonight. And we'll thank you, Lord, that you'll have your will and your way be done in our midst this evening. In Jesus' name, we humbly pray. Amen. Now, imagine if that was said at your funeral. I kept back nothing. You kept back nothing. Imagine if this was our testimony, yours and mine. Think about that. Now, what's happening here inside of this passage is that Paul is bidding farewell to his friends and the elders of the church at Ephesus. The Bible's clear in verse 25 and also in verse 38 that they all knew this was their last time seeing each other. So I got to thinking, how glad I am that God kept back nothing. You know, He kept back nothing. Psalm 84:11, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly." I'm glad tonight that if you and I are living right, God said He ain't going to hold back nothing that we need. Amen. You know, He may not give us everything we want because He don't want us to be spoiled brats. But He promises in His Word that He won't hold back nothing from those that walk uprightly. That means you got to live right. Not just when you're here at church and you put your church clothes on and you come not to put on a show, but that you live right throughout the rest of the week as well. Not that you go out and sow your wild oats and then come in and pray for crop failure. God don't work that way, and He don't want you to work that way. But you know, I'm glad tonight that God didn't keep back nothing in creation. Bible tells us in the book of Colossians in verse 1, chapter 16, "For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him." There's so many astronomers and people out there, they say, you know, if we're the only ones here, what a waste of space. You know what? That's some arrogant thinking, if you ask me. The Bible teaches us that God made the earth in the book of Isaiah to be inhabited. And that's why there's life here, to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if God decided to make all them worlds and planets out there and not put no life on them, then so be it. That's His will. That's His choice. And He made mankind as His crowning creation. And I thank God for that. He kept nothing back in creation. And you know what else? God didn't keep nothing back in Revelation either. He told us in 2 Timothy 3:16, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good work." I'm glad when I pick up my old King James Bible, I know that I have the perfect revealed Word and mind of the living God right there. I ain't got to go nowhere else. I ain't got to go out on some archaeological dig and try to find some ancient scroll out there. I got it right here. And I'm glad God held nothing back when He revealed His Word to us. Amen. I'm glad He kept back nothing in salvation. I'm glad if I got Jesus, I got it all. Yep. You got it all. We got it all, praise God. 2 Peter 1:3, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. That's a blessing right there, because in salvation, God hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life eternal. If you've got Jesus, you don't have to worry about no preacher, no priest, no pope. You don't have to jump through hoops. You don't got to keep doing this and doing that. When you go to Jesus, you get it all through Jesus right there. God holds nothing back for the child that is born again. As Brother Justin reminds us that we've been adopted into the family of God, and God holds nothing back for you and I. Praise God. You know? But Paul's testimony in Acts chapter 20 is one of keeping nothing back. And what a blessing that is. You know, Paul left it all on the field. He expended every resource he had available to him to get forth that word of God, to get forth that doctrine, to get forth that preaching and teaching of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. You see, back in verse 19, we find point number one, he kept back nothing in his serving. He kept back nothing in his serving. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptation which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. You know, I think any preacher worth his salt can stand up and say that he shed many tears for his congregation. He's kept back nothing in his service. Now, there's some that do, but by and large, if a man is God called and he's God bought and he's God put there, then he's not going to hold back nothing for his congregation. You know, it was a humble service. He said he had humility of mind. He didn't think him the big head. You know, it was a heartfelt service. There was many tears, many, many tears. You see, it wasn't a chore. It wasn't a drudgery. It wasn't a duty, but it was one of passion that he had to serve the flock of the Lord. And it was a harassed service as well, we find out, because we find there were many temptations, and then the Jews were lying in wait, ready to kill him. You know, he kept back nothing in his serving. In verses 20, 21, and 27, we find point number two. He kept back nothing in the Scripture. Paul told us, he says, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greek, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." And then in verse 27, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." You know, Paul's ministering of the Scripture was profitable, it was public, and it was personal. How personal? Because he went house to house. You know, that's something about it, guys. I can't get enough of the Bible. You know, the Bible is the Word of God. It is the mind of Christ. It is there for you and I as food, spiritually, for us to grow in. You know, and if you got problems where you're trying to fight the flesh and fight temptation and all these other things, you're going to go down in fiery flame to defeat if you don't get inside the Bible and don't walk daily by your Savior's side. And see, that's important for us. We need that with the ministering of the Scripture, of the Word of God. You know, so many times it can be very easy for us to get into programs and other different things and neglect the Word of God. Folks, we should never neglect this Bible. God saw fit that we should have it and have the whole revealed counsel of the Word of God. And the man of God and the men of God out there preaching this Bible, they should not be looked down upon if they spend, quote, too much time in the old book. You know what? We can't spend enough time in this book, because this is the book that's going to guide us. It's going to get us from here to heaven's shore. If this old King James Bible can't get me to heaven, then there ain't no book that's going to get me there. That's the Word of God right there, and that'll get us home. If it ain't broke, by George, don't fix it. But you know what else Paul did not keep back? He kept, point number three, he kept back nothing in his submission. In verses 22 through 24, now think about this. There's a big difference between submission and surrender. Look at verse 22. "And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, saying that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Bonds were put there on his hands by man. You'll note that. Paul was a prisoner from time to time. But the bonds on his heart were put there by God. Notice he said he was bound and in bond, bound in the Spirit. Now he had here unsure anxiety in verse 22. He didn't know what would befall him there. I don't know about y'all, but guys, sometimes the scariest thing you can do is live by faith. And if that don't produce some anxiety somewhere, you must not be human. There's more gray that's come in my beard and my little hair I have left, because we are human and we do get anxious from time to time. But I try not to live that way because I know how God wants me to live. It's by faith. I can't help but wonder sometimes, but Lord, back there in the back of my mind, telling me, he says, son, I got you. I'll get you through. I'll guide you home. I'll guide you through the storm. But didn't a poor old Peter get his eyes off Jesus and onto that boisterous storm and the wind and the waves blowing and watching and everything? And he began to sink. That's what the devil wants us to do. He wants us to get our eyes off Jesus and on the storm that's ravaging our lives. But even Paul, bound inside the Spirit, he went to Jerusalem saying, I'm unsure of what holds me there. What's going to be there when I get there? He didn't know. And just like him, you and I, we don't know what's going to come on tomorrow. We have no idea. I mean, God forbid, I could go tomorrow and then be in a wreck and die. You don't know. I don't know. I hope not. I'm going to expect to get down there and do my thing and come on back home to my sweet, dear, loving wife. She'll be bouncing off the walls, ready for me to come home. I hope. But notice he had something else. He had an undesirable affliction, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. That means, abide means to wait and to continue. So he knew, the Holy Ghost kept warning him. He said, you go down this path, you have nothing but hurt coming your way. And even though he realized that, he still went because he had a mindset to go to Jerusalem. What else did he tell us? He said he had an unselfish attitude. He said, neither count I my life dear unto myself. Oh, that we all would get that in our mind. That if we're going to die, let me die as a Christian. Amen. If they want to send troops out after us to shut us down and haul us out because we're Christian, fine, I'll go that way. Amen. Paul said, my life don't mean anything. If God wills that I should die, then so be it. If I die for the cause of Christ, then I'll do it. But Paul said, I'm going down to Jerusalem. You see what Paul's saying here, in essence. I don't know what's in store, but I do know that it will be more bonds and afflictions. And you know what? I don't care. I'm more interested in finishing my course in my ministry and doing what God called me to do. That's his attitude right there. That's what he's saying in these verses. So Paul kept back nothing in his submission to the will and plan of God in his life. And folks, that's important for you and I to not and to mark it down. That we should hold back nothing and we should submit entirely to what God has called you and I to do. Amen. You might not be a preacher. You might not be an evangelist. You might not be a deacon or a Sunday school teacher. But you are a Christian. You are a child of God. And it is high time that the children of God submit to the holy hand of God. And God says, live this way, then by King, we ought to live that way. And do that way, and dress that way, and sound that way. And even smell that way. Well, everything we should do, should bring honor and glory to Jesus. Well, in verses 25 and 26, point number 4, we find that Paul kept back nothing in soul winning. He says, and now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day, listen to what he says, that I am pure from the blood of all men. You see, this is a concept that Paul often used in referring to his efforts to evangelize the unsaved. He says, "And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, 'Your blood be upon your own heads, I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles.'" Remember what a testimony that is. He says, "I am free from the blood. I am pure from the blood of all men." He said, what does that mean? He's saying, if anybody in this region dies and goes to hell, it won't be my fault. That's what he's saying. Because he preached to anybody and everybody that he could. He witnessed to them about Jesus. I mean, imagine if every person of Danieltown Baptist Church could rise up and say, "I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men." That every single person you could ever meet and I could ever meet, that we would evangelize in some way, shape, or form. That we would give a gospel tract to. That we would tell them about Jesus. And then on the heels of that, we could invite them to church. But the main thing is invite them to Jesus. Imagine if we all did that. Nobody in this community, probably nobody half the people in this county, could say, "Well, I went to hell, but it wasn't because of them folks over at Danieltown." The thing is that too many times we hold back. We don't tell everybody we see and know about Jesus. But that can't be said of the Apostle Paul. Everywhere he went in them cities, he went preaching Jesus Christ. And he told it right there to his friends and to those elders. He said, basically, if anybody dies and goes to hell, it won't be on account of our lack of preaching. Wow. Number five, he kept back nothing in sounding the alarm. Now that's important. Preaching the gospel, teaching the word of God, but also, beloved, sounding that alarm. Look at verse 27. "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." Folks, right there, Paul's telling them. He says, you've got to stand, you've got to guard, you've got to watch, you've got to protect the flock. Because when I go and I die, there's going to come wolves that are going to come in and creep in and try to rip you apart and rip that flock of God apart. And folks, if it was true then, it's true now. Now is the time when preachers need to not hold back, not keep back anything, but preach forth the whole counsel of the Word of God, no matter who it offends. I've preached about it. I've named names of false preachers out there, and it's offended people. I remember that one woman, she wrote a scathing email to me at one time, up one side and down the other. She used to send $50 a week to this church. And she said, "Because you said John Hagee said that he was wrong about preaching to the Jews, I'm not going to support you and your church anymore." I said, "Then that's your right. But I'll tell you right now, he's wrong, he's wrong, he's wrong. Because the Jews do have to be evangelized. They do need the gospel of Jesus Christ, just like anybody else does. I don't care how popular the man is. Folks, it doesn't exclude them from the true testimony of the Word of God, because the Word of God will get us all. You got to sound the alarm. I mean, you got to call a spade a spade. You can't go around dancing around and then sugarcoating things like that. You've got to call it out and name it like it is. Why? To warn people. But too many today, they want to hold back because money bags is in the church. Well, if money bags leave, God will bring another money bag or a little bitty money bag. Somebody once told me, they said, "Why do you have church on Wednesday night?" I said, "Why not?" They said, "Well, do you not even get in enough money to pay the bill?" I said, "We don't even take up an offering on Wednesday night." I said, "The plates are there if they want to put in." But I said, "God pays the bill." Amen. And he's still paying the bill. Yep. He's using us to pay it. Right. And if God says, "I don't want the church there no more," then he'll cut it off. And then away we go. But until then, we're going to keep on doing what we're supposed to do. And keep warning people that this is a wicked, sin-cursed, rotten world. And that every time the devil tries to come around, he is not going to make sin look bad at all. He will make it look alluring. He will make it look nice. He will make it look like something you need. And if we don't beat the drum and we don't sound the cry and raise the war cry right there, we better cry, "Watchman on the wall, blow the trumpet and let it blow." But if they don't, the blood will be on their head. It ain't going to be on our head, because we're going to blow the alarm and sound the alarm and not hold back. But there's another area where Paul did not hold back, and that was sacrificing. Point number 6, he kept back nothing in his sacrificing. Verse 32, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" And it ain't even Christmas time, but it is Christmas in July. I've challenged everybody in these hard summer months, make it Christmas in July to your church home. If you can spare a little more to chip in, because these months are rough. And they're really rough in right now for us, but praise God, He's meeting our need. And I thank everybody that gives and puts into the church. So what Paul's saying in the end there is he's saying, he had in no way taken advantage of them. He had sacrificed in his life. He reminded them that he worked with his own hands to provide for himself and to them traveling with them. He reminded them that by example he had contributed to the support of the weak, and that by example he had shown them that Jesus' words were true, that it was more blessed to give than to receive. Paul's last word to the elders of Ephesus was a reminder and a personal testimony to do their part to provide for the support of those who could not, and to pursue blessing that are reserved only for them that give. Ain't that what the Lord tells us? Let him that stole steal no more, but rather work with his hand that which is good, that he may have to spend on whatever he wants. No. So that he can have to put in a 401k. No. So that he can have to give to him that is in need. Paul held back nothing in his sacrificing. To help widows and orphans and underprivileged is a blessing. And Jesus promises you that if you give, you will be blessed. You know, as you look back through these 6 things that we read about Paul, he held back nothing in his serving. He held back nothing in his scriptures. He held back nothing in his submission. He kept back nothing in his soul winning. He kept back nothing in sounding the alarm. He kept back nothing in his sacrificing. Can you and I look at our lives tonight and, like Paul, say, "I have kept back nothing"? If I start with myself, I can't. I know there's things in my life I've kept back. There's times I've kept back when I ought to go fully all in. And I reckon if we're all honest with ourselves, we've all done that somewhere along the way. But here, the Apostle Paul says, "I have done like Jesus has done, following in His footsteps." David, if you'll come. He has kept back nothing, Jesus. Jesus has not kept back anything from you and I. And Paul said, following Him, "I've also kept back nothing. And now, beloved, it is up to you and me, you and I, in our own personal ministry, where you are and where I am, for us likewise to keep back nothing and to put it all in, all of it. It's just like I told my wife. I said, I've got those Confederate stamps. I like it. I collected it. I've done it twice. But when you got to provide for your family, it's time to let it go. I'm trying to. Nobody wanted to pay the price. So I'm working on it. So pray for that. But think about it. Selfishness would say, no, I'm not going to get rid of that. And you keep it back. But God says it's more blessed to give than to receive. Sell that so I can have money so then I can give. So then I can give to the church. Then I can give to my bills. Then I can give to help somebody else out that might be worse off than I am. Amen. That's why we're supposed to, ain't it?
Yeah, amen.
Not so we can get and then say, oh, I'm going to spend all this on myself. That's not right. That's not the Bible way. But no matter what it is, whether it's our wallet, whether it's our mouth, whether it's our going the extra mile, let's make sure that whatever it is we're doing, make sure first it's for God's glory. If whatever you're doing, you can't bring God glory in it, then you need to chuck it out and get rid of it. But if you're doing it for God's glory, then don't hold back. Go all in. As I used to say, go ahead and bet the farm on it. All right. Well, as Justin comes and as we go through an invitational hymn, if God's dealing with you in any way, shape, or form, we're going to kill the live feed. And if you need to come to the altar and do business with God, please, whatever it is, don't hold back.